Good morning. How good it is to be gathered in a spirit of worship in the beauty of this place. A little bit dreary outside, but good to be gathered here on a Sunday morning in a spirit of worship. I want to extend a special welcome to all of those who might be visiting with us. If this is your first time worshiping here at St. John's, welcome. There is a card at either end of your pew, and in the middle, a little card with a mouse on it. We would love if you would fill that card out. You can either leave it on your pew or place it in the basket in the back on your way out. It's just a little card with some basic information so we can be in touch, say thank you for worshiping with us, and so that you can learn more about us and we can learn more about you. A welcome, of course, to everyone, whether visitor or regular, and it is important that each of you know that no matter who you are, no matter where you are on life's journey, it is our deep desire to meet you where you are, and most importantly, to share God's love with you. I have quite a few announcements to share this morning, and some good news. Three of them are printed in your bulletins, so I won't forget details, and you can take them home and read them later, but I do want to draw your attention to them. On the very back of your bulletin, there's an announcement about the Feed My Starving Children event. That is happening on May 19th from 2 to 4. We are in need of St. John's volunteers. It's a wonderful event. If you have questions or are interested in reserving a spot for yourself, please see Sally Atkiss. She is here this morning. And then also on the back, there is an updated list from Manna on Main Street about their current needs. I know we got this list last week. This is updated even since then. Manna does a great job of updating their website as their needs arise. And so Lisa updated this list. So please pay attention to this. You can either drop food off here at St. John's or you can take it directly to Manna. But this is a mission that is important to us, to our community, and we like to support it when needed. So please pay attention to that. On the inside of that back page, there is an announcement about something that is happening on May 14th, which is not that far away, scarily enough. On Sunday, May 14th, the Reverend Dr. Tim Ahrens will be here preaching at both the 8 o'clock service and the 10:15 service. And in between those two services, he will be presenting his latest book that he has just written and published. In the library. So if you are interested in joining him, come an hour earlier than you normally do. But there's information about the book here and a little blurb about the event that's happening on the 14th at the top. So please pay attention to that. I have two other announcements to share, one of which a community event that Alan Malachowski has brought to our attention. The author, Greg Neary, will be at Pembroke Middle School on Wednesday, May 3rd at 7 p.m., and the first 50 attendees get a free signed copy of his book, Concrete Cowboy. And Concrete Cowboy was made into a Netflix movie starring Idris Elba and Caleb McLaughlin. So an interesting story, I'm sure. Please see Alan Malachowski for more information, but an event for our community at Pembroke Middle School. A word from our visioning committee, something important to pay attention to. Next Sunday, May 7th, there will be a second visioning session on the fellowship and care quadrant. Last time we talked about music, this time we are moving forward to fellowship and care. As last time, we will meet in Assembly Hall after our second service, 10:15. So please grab refreshments first and join us. The session will begin at noon and will last about an hour. So please take time, mark this down. It's a very important time for our community as we vision forward, particularly about fellowship and care. And I believe those are all of the announcements this morning. So I'm going to invite you to join me in taking a deep breath, the best way to start any day and any worship service. Make it a good one. As we breathe in God's Spirit that surrounds us, that fills this place, and that fills each one of us as we worship. As we exhale, feel yourself letting go of the things that are busying your mind and your heart and your body, so that you can be fully present here in this time and in this place and with these people. As we focus our hearts and our minds and lift our voices, as we continue to boldly proclaim that Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. I invite you to join me in our responsive call to worship. Whether we walk beside green pastures and still waters, or through the valley of the shadow of death, God walks with us, leading, comforting, shepherding. Whether we recognize him or not, Christ walks with us, listening, revealing, discovering. Whether we want to hide away in fear or run away in hopelessness, the Holy Spirit walks with us, meeting, moving, renewing. We do not walk alone on the journey. God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit are our companions as we go, wherever we go. They accompany us even now as we worship. Amen. Join me as together we confess our sins by praying our prayer of confession. Let us pray. Living and loving God, we are often so busy talking at one another that we fail to see you in the face of the person beside us. We walk on and talk on, so rushed and so focused on our own tasks and agendas that we do not create the space that would allow us to recognize you alongside of us. Forgive us, God, and warm our hearts with a renewed sense of your presence, so that in making room, we find your hospitality and love awaiting us. May it be your never-failing footsteps beside us that inspire us to keep moving forward on the road and sharing the good news of your resurrection. Amen. Friends, God does indeed come alongside of each and every one of us, offering forgiveness, mercy, and compassion. When we dare to confess our sins, to claim our mistakes, and to ask for God's help, we are then able to recognize and experience God's grace in new and renewed ways. May we indeed recognize Christ in our midst and the gifts he brings to our lives in the offering and sacrificing of his. We are forgiven, loved, and free. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning. Our first reading from Scripture comes from the Hebrew Scriptures, the Old Testament. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Our second reading this morning comes from the New Testament, the Gospel of Luke. Now, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, often contain the same stories. In fact, they're referred to as synoptic gospels, which means they are seen together. And yet, in the Gospel of Luke, there are at times exceptions. This story that we are about to hear is only found in Luke's Gospel, and it is a beautiful story. The road to Emmaus. Now, on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And talking with each other about these things that had happened, while they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place here these days?" And he asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it was just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory? Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures." Now, as they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. The word of God for the people of God.
Hey, kids. Oh, good morning. Good morning. Wow, you sounded so good. Thank you so much for singing today. Hey, Danny, who did you bring with you today? Who is this?
Elmo.
Yeah. Is that Elmo? Yeah, Elmo, and who else do we have here? What's your friend's name?
It's Puppy.
Puppy? Yeah, it's Puppy and Elmo. Well, I want to ask you a couple questions this morning. Is that okay? Can you tell me if you have a friend? Do you have a friend? Can you just raise your hand if you have a friend? You have a friend? Okay. What can you tell me about a friend? What do we know about friends?
They're kind.
They're kind. Yes.
They're nice.
They're nice.
They're helpful.
They're helpful.
They're caring.
They're caring. Yeah. What's the name of your friend? is it?
Maddie.
Yeah. What's your name?
Bryn.
Bryn? Bryn is your friend? Anybody else have a name of a friend? Yes?
Daphne.
Daphne? Yeah. So, I want to talk with you about another friend that everyone here today has. Do you know who we might be talking about? Jesus. Why do you think Jesus is a friend?
Because he cares about everyone.
I love that. What else do we know about Jesus?
He's always with us.
Yes. Is Jesus kind?
Yeah.
Yep. Is Jesus mean?
No.
Does Jesus love?
No.
Does Jesus hate?
No.
Wow. You know a lot about Jesus. Yeah. What else can you think of when you think of Jesus?
He's very helpful.
Very helpful.
He cares about people that's up in heaven.
He cares about the people who are up in heaven? Yes. You know who else he cares about? He cares about the people here on earth who are hurting, who are hungry, who don't have a place to live. Jesus cares about those who are lonely, right? He cares about the people who don't have any friends. Jesus? Now, where is Jesus right now?
He's up in heaven.
He's up in heaven, yeah. He's up in heaven, and interestingly enough, he's up in heaven, and he's also right here. He's also right here in our what?
Heart.
In our heart. Yeah, you're a sharp group for sure. So, we who are in the church think about Jesus in a special way as a shepherd. Have you ever heard of that word, shepherd? Yeah? Do you know what a shepherd is? Yeah, we're sheep. We're sheep. We're kind of like, you know, we're here on earth. We do the best we can, but we need somebody to guide us, and that's Jesus. So, I want you to remember that Jesus is always here. He's up in heaven, and he's also in our hearts. So could we say a prayer together and then the Lord's Prayer? Could we do that? Okay. Let me pray. Dear God, we thank you for Jesus, who is our friend, who is in heaven and is here on earth and also in our hearts. And he taught us to pray a special prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you so much for coming up today. And remember, wherever you go, Jesus is going with you. Take care.
I invite you to be with me in prayer. Loving God, as we continue on this Easter journey, and we hear more about disciples encountering your son Jesus, Help us to have the open ears and the open hearts and the open minds that it takes to encounter Jesus here and now. May your word be in the midst of mine. Amen. Emmaus. I've been there. You have too. We all get there eventually. And no, I'm not talking about the town just up the Northeast Extension, although that's a funny thing we get to say around here. Emmaus is the place you go when your world falls apart. The place you go when your dreams are shattered and your hope is gone. Emmaus might be a bit like that valley of the shadow of death our psalm talks about this morning. So see, we've all been there. Frederick Buechner, who's a Presbyterian pastor and author, puts it like this. Emmaus is whatever we do or wherever we go to make ourselves forget that the world holds nothing sacred, where we spend much of our lives, you and I, the place we go in order to escape. A bar, a movie, wherever it is that we throw up our hands and say, let the whole thing go hang, it makes no difference anyway. But there are some things, he says, that even in Emmaus we cannot escape. We can escape our troubles, at least for a while. We can escape the job we did not get or the friend we hurt. We can even escape for a while the awful suspicion that life makes no sense and that the religion of Jesus is a whole lot of wishful thinking. But the one thing we cannot escape is life itself. The story that we hear from Luke's gospel today is one of my very favorites. It's such a rich story, so full of the reality of our humanness, so full of that life that we cannot escape. It's got disappointed, oblivious disciples, and of course, the ever surprising wonder of the risen Christ. It is a story about Emmaus, that town that the disciples are heading to, and the place that each of us goes when we are defeated and don't know where else to go. It is a story about meeting Christ while we walk, about the power of hope turning hearts that are broken into hearts that are burning, on fire for the story and the resurrected life of Jesus. Now, while we are still in the season of Easter, I want you to imagine it is still Easter morning for the two disciples we meet today who are walking the road from Jerusalem to Emmaus. Cleopas and another were leaving everything behind and walking some 7 miles northwest into the setting sun. The wounds of Holy Week are still fresh. The emotions are still raw. They went with a sense of confusion and defeat. I can't help but see the cloud of grief that had settled across the land, those feelings of deep loss that accompany the death of a loved one. That grief that everyone says is normal, but when you are in the midst of it, feels anything but normal. That is the place where we meet our two travelers this morning. Cleopas and the other traveler, who isn't given a name, woke up that third day and looked at each other with one question. Now what? They had heard the news from the woman at the tomb. They had heard the stories about angels and Peter's confirmation that the body was indeed gone and the linen wrappings was all that was left in its place. But now what should they do? They hadn't seen anything. All they had were rumors. Our text says that they were sad. The Message translation says that they were long-faced, like they had lost their best friend. And in a sense, they had. Their hope and their hearts were broken. So I suppose their plan was to pack up and go home, back to their everyday pre-Jesus lives. They took to the road, planning to go back and pick up where they had left off before they had met this man called Jesus. Anyone who has experienced the loss of a loved one knows exactly what that now what moment feels like. Perhaps it's the day after the funeral services or the first day back to work after a time of bereavement. But there's this simultaneous feeling that life will never be the same, but also this sort of disbelief and resentment that the rest of the world is just going on, moving normally, as though nothing happened, as though your grief didn't matter. So Cleopas and his traveling companion took to the road. Have you ever found that sometimes a good walk is what is needed to clear our heads, to work out a problem, or just to think something through? I think I might have shared this story before, but it bears repeating. I have a vivid memory from when I was a kid of a particularly rough day for little Chelsea and Adelaide Stong. My mom was at the end of her rope, so near the end of her rope, in fact, that she simply had to leave the house and go for a walk. A mom came up after me, after the 8 o'clock service and said, "I've been there." Now, just being kids at the time, my sister and I thought for a brief moment that we had finally pushed her to the edge and she was not coming back from that walk. But of course, she did. My point being that things happen while we walk. Sometimes when we have something big and serious to think about, when our emotions and feelings are rising to the surface at such an alarming rate that we can't process and feel them fast enough, putting it all on pause and just moving our bodies makes way for solutions to present themselves. Sometimes talking while walking with our friends also offers us a way of sorting things out. These two disciples had a 7-mile walk in front of them, a day's journey to figure out how to answer that question, now what? They had time to consider and to contemplate, and they probably spent time sharing stories about their time with Jesus. And then they meet a stranger walking toward them with his back to the sun. They didn't have any idea who he was. He asked what they'd been discussing, and they showed their amazement that he must have been the only person in the region who hadn't heard the rumors. They told this stranger what had happened and then spoke a memorable line in verse 21. "We had hoped that he would be the one to save Israel." We had hoped. One commentary I read as I prepared for today remarked that that could be the Chamber of Commerce slogan for this little town of Emmaus, where you and I have often gone. Welcome to Emmaus, the little town where our hope is in yesterday. We had hoped. We had hoped that Jesus would be the one to save us, they said. We've all been there on our walks to Emmaus. We'd hoped. We had hoped it would all work out. We had hoped that things would have just stayed the same. We had hoped it would have been easier. We had hoped the tumor was benign. We had hoped that the storm would have passed and the damage would be limited. We had hoped that the first signs of forgetfulness were nothing to worry about. We had hoped that he would beat it this time. We had hoped. Now, "we had hoped" is only the first part of the sentence, because what's implied is we had hoped, but we don't anymore. And that's the way it is sometimes on the road to Emmaus. This Emmaus we're talking about isn't so much a place, it's our spiritual condition. It's where we stand when we've reached the end of our rope. Jesus listens as the disciples tell their story, as they describe their heartbreak at the death of the one who they thought was the one. And he patiently listens. But Jesus knew that they just did not quite grasp the significance of what had happened. These two were asking, "Now what?" as if the end had come, not a new beginning. And finally, as though he had sort of had enough of their retelling, Jesus begins to tell them the story from the beginning, the very beginning, starting with Moses and the prophets. And he tells them the whole account of why this day mattered so much and interprets and opens scripture to them. He breaks down the biblical code and does everything but slap a "Hello, my name is Jesus" sticker on him. And still, they do not recognize him. As a reader, knowing what we know, we think, why didn't they recognize him? Why didn't they see him? What blinded the eyes of these two men from putting two and two together, from seeing the one they had longed to see, the one that they mourned, the one they grieved over? He was standing right there, right in front of them, and they didn't recognize him. So they keep walking, they keep talking, and as they enter the village, Jesus is ahead of them, and it looks as though he's going to keep on walking. But they urge him strongly to stay with them for the night, to eat with them, and to remain where it is safe. I have to believe that there might be something within them that understood more than they realized. They are inviting a stranger in, inviting the unknown man to dine at their table, to break bread with them, and to share the cup. So he does. He enters the house and sits at the table. He assumes his traditional role. He takes bread and blesses it and breaks it and shares it. You know the routine, you know the words. And something is triggered in those two men, a memory. They have seen this before, and they know, without a doubt, they are sitting with the one whom they wanted to see so badly. They sit and dine with Jesus, the one who gave his body for them. In that moment comes recognition, and in that recognition comes faithfulness, and in that faithfulness is a space for new memories and new possibilities and new life. The question of now what suddenly looks different. The answer is not to look backwards and to go back to Jerusalem or back to the fishing nets and tax deadlines and the old way of life they had knew before Jesus. The answer was to move forward into a world that is different because Christ is risen. No sooner do they recognize him, Jesus is gone, at least in body. But they are not the same as they were when they sat down. The presence of the risen Christ has changed them as it changes each of us. And not just being in his presence, but sitting around the table with them, sharing a meal with him, walking the path with him, opening their hearts to him, that's where the transformation begins. The disciples on the road to Emmaus experience the risen Christ through the warming and the opening of their hearts. In the breaking of the bread and the welcoming of the stranger and the opening of scripture, they were changed, and they went forward as people of the risen Christ. This is a lesson for us. That unless we open our hearts to the possibility of Christ showing up on the road where we least expect him, our eyes will remain closed. This season of Easter is a time for us, too, to live into the now what, to turn our broken hearts to burning hearts once again, to take joy in experiencing the resurrected life and all the new places it will lead us. These two knew the story. They heard the rumors, they knew the facts, and yet they still did not recognize Jesus until they broke bread and broke down the walls of defeat and doubt that they had built around their hearts. And we know the story too. We hear it every year. And yet, we all have times when we don't recognize Jesus. Sometimes because we're not looking for him, and sometimes, more often than not, because he isn't doing what we think he will or what we want him to. But isn't that why we come to church each week? Why we surround ourselves with people who walk with us? Because even when we feel alone or isolated, when we feel defeated and hopeless, even when we struggle to see Christ at work in our own lives, we surround ourselves with others who can help us to see. Cleopas and his friend were not alone that day. They had one another. When they left Jerusalem, they left together. They traveled as a team, and Jesus walked with both of them. When they dined together. And when they had good news to share of seeing Jesus, they raced back to Jerusalem together, where the other disciples were gathered together. We too share the good news of the Easter season together. As a community of faith, as a church family, we are charged and called to find ways to show the hope we find in the risen Christ together, even when it is hard. I know it is easy to stay in the valley of the we had hoped. But there is new life awaiting us. The communion table is at the center of our worship space each and every week. We remind one another each time we share in communion that this table is one for all people, a table to be sat at together, because we together remind one another of the presence of the risen Christ and the hope of the gospel, even when we may not see it. When one of us walks the road and cannot recognize that Jesus walks with us, we remind one another. We are all on the road recognizing Christ together. Sometimes our hearts will be broken, other times burning with the joy of the good news. But the gift of being in community is that even when the clouds of grief have settled thick in our own lives, we have the guiding light of Christ in those around us to lead us through. Will we come together and open our hearts, trust the part of us that wants to invite Jesus into our home and into our lives? Our own walks to and through whatever Emmaus we face is all the richer because we walk this road together with one another and with the one who comes to us sometimes as stranger, always as friend. As our psalm this morning reminds us, while we walk, Christ walks with us. It's what's most comforting about those familiar words from Psalm 23. God walks with us down every path, through every valley. In that, may we find hope and the deep knowledge that opening our hearts to the new thing God is doing, the new way Christ is showing up, will always, always lead us to a place of life. May it be so. Amen.
As we prepare our lives for prayer, there are a series of celebrations that I'd like to share, along with some concerns. Now, the celebrations, lots of birthdays, lots of birthdays. And if I call out your name, you can raise your hand. Shirley Hale, Ava Probst, Amy Hutchinson, Steve Hendricks, there he is, and Alan Malachowski. There he is. Congratulations, and our warmest wishes. Some news to share, folks, that we need to be keeping in our prayers. The friends and family of Rosa Gilletti, who passed away on April 27th. We want to keep in our prayers Vern Moyer, who is entering hospice, and the Hamill family has asked us to be mindful of Vern. We want to remember that Linda Horst will be having heart catheterization this coming Wednesday. Linda is Leroy's wife, and Carol Lors wants us to keep David in our prayers. And of course, as we gather in prayer, we are mindful of the whole world and the many needs that it presents. So as we begin our prayer this morning, I want us to take a few minutes of silence. And I want to ask you to recall a time in your life when you were accompanied well by someone else. It could have been a time of grief. It could have been a time of challenge. It could have been a time when you celebrated, but a time when someone in your life accompanied you well. And so as part of our prayer this morning, I want you to focus on that person. They may be living, they may have passed, but let's remember in prayer, each one of us, that person. Let us pray. Holy God, who is our shepherd, we give you thanks for those along life's way who accompanied us, who were there in our grieving, who were present during challenges, those who affirmed and supported us. And God, we recognize that in some measure, the living Christ was alive in these people. God, there are so many times in life when we, like Cleopas and his friend, want to walk away. We want to walk away. We want to walk away when we're grieving. We want to walk away when there is tension and strife. We want to walk away when we're disappointed. And we want to walk away when we've been betrayed. Help us, God, to know that there are those who embrace us even when we walk away, that your Spirit is present and is near. Oh God, we are mindful that indeed you are a shepherd, that you pursue us in goodness, in holiness, and that you want for us joy, to give us the gifts of life. We remember those this day who struggle, for those who do not have food, for those who live in worn, torn places, for those whose loneliness envelops them, for those who are friendless, for those who need hope. We pray in particular on this day for the family of Rosa Gilletti, for Vern Moyer. We pray for Linda and Leroy Horst. We pray for David and for Carol, who lifted him in prayer. God, allow your Spirit to give us the courage to welcome strangers, to accompany others who need us. On this day, we give you thanks for surprises, for the way in which your holiness shows up in ordinary moments, like on a walk or in a conversation with friends, or even when we're in the middle of some conflict. God, remind us that you are present everywhere and always. You are the great shepherd, and your love for us is enduring. And we pray all of these things in the name of Jesus the Christ, our friend, our shepherd, our healer, our Savior. Amen. As we prepare to share our gifts and offerings, we're reminded that God is God of the entire world, not just God of our family or our church or our town or our state or even our country, but this is the holy God who is mending all of creation
and who has invited us into that holy work of mending a broken and hurting world. And so we receive these gifts to God's glory.
Loving God, giver and gift, we thank you for the many gifts given this morning in a spirit of hope, of outreach, and of community. Take all that has been offered this day and use it in ways that grow. Grow your church, grow your mission, grow your love, that through us, your love may reach further and wider than we could ever imagine apart from you. God, grant us discernment and wisdom and integrity as we seek to be good stewards and as we seek to reflect you in all that we are and in all that we do. In Christ's name we pray all of these things. Amen. Christ does indeed call us in and then send us out. So as you go out from this place, may we be reminded that Christ does indeed go with us, walks with us out these doors into a world filled with broken hearts, burning hearts, and hearts that sometimes fail to open and see. As you greet one another this morning, share the peace of Christ with one another. And help one another recognize Christ in our midst this morning. And so may you go and do just that, and as you do, may you know that the love of God surrounds you, the hope and the peace of Christ sustains you, and the power of God's Holy Spirit goes with you and stays with you this day and every day. Amen.